It's Christmas time, and we're looking at the Christmas story this December. And we want you to make plans right now to be here next Sunday as we have our first ever family Christmas. You will want to be here for that. And we're going to be going through the Christmas story, and many of us know that the Christmas story is in Luke chapter 2, and that's traditionally what is read. And I remember as a kid that we'd have Christmas time, and we'd have to wake up early in the morning, but Mom and Dad said it had to be past 6 a.m. And it did not matter when the sun came out. They had to watch the clock. And then we all had to be dressed okay, because there would be pictures, and we had to get all ready, and we would look at all the packages, and we'd look at all the names, and, you know, I was really bad at, you know, I hate surprises. I mean, I get just so excited about surprises and secrets and just things of being excited about something that's fun, and I look at presents, and I'm like, how can I tell what's inside of it? I became a master of pulling tape off, shaking the package, figuring it out. Yeah, my mom knew. So she would try to trick me. But anyways, we'd have to sit, how our Christmas mornings went, is that we would have to sit around the couch all together, and Dad would pull out his big Bible, and he would read from Luke chapter 2. And we'd read through the Christmas story. And then after we prayed, we got to open presents. And that was our family tradition. That was family Christmas for us. And as we prepare to do that together next week, we're spending the 2 weeks prior looking at what happens before the Christmas story in Luke chapter 1. Last week we started with Luke chapter 1 and we said it's believe part 1. And today we're looking at believe part 2. And today we're asking the question, how can I really know if I believe? How can I know if I really believe? And if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, you can receive that hope at the end of this message. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. You can use your paper Bible. You can use your Bible app on your phone. Or you could follow along with a screen that's above me. We're reading out of Luke chapter 1, the New Living Translation. Now, when you came in today, you should have received a bulletin, and inside your bulletin, there's a half page inside that's some notes. You can follow along with this message. You can know exactly when are we going to be done with it, but it's also something we want you to keep, to use, to look at again, probably on Thursday this week, and say, you know what, I'm going to reread for myself. Just don't take my word for what I'm saying about what the Bible says, but look for yourself. Find out for yourself. Pray over it. Read. Say, God, speak to me through this. And it's a great way to learn how to digest God's word for us individually. So here's what's happening. We're in Luke chapter 1, and last week we read out of Luke chapter 1, and we read the beginning, and we read the end, because we skipped a story that was in the middle. See, in Luke chapter 1, there are two angel visits. The angel Gabriel has been sent to go visit two different people, and last week we looked at him visiting Zechariah, and today we're looking at him visiting a young girl by the name of Mary. So starting in verse 26, it says this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." God, we pray that in the next few moments, as we unpack your word for us today, that you would speak to us. Lord, that you would make your words come alive to us. Lord, that they would have meaning, that they would challenge us, that they would change us as we look at this concept of believing in you. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. It's Christmas time, so it's time for shopping, and yesterday was a big shopping day, and so we were out shopping, and I went and visited the shopping area known as, let me say it correctly, because I always put an extra S, I think, in it. Hilldale, no S, right? Hilldale, okay? I'm there, and I'm walking along all the stores, and there's Macy's, and something that Macy's is known for the Christmas time is they have this slogan, this theme that is always there, and you can just look in the windows, and there is the big words cut out of styrofoam and glittery red, and it says, believe. You know what I'm talking about? Believe. You see, believing is a part of what we do in our culture. Whether or not we believe in God, whether or not we believe that Christmas is about Jesus, believe happens to be a part of our lives. This Christmas time, and you know, I had a conversation with one of my friends as part of our family here last week, and I was telling her that I'm excited for Christmas, and I hope and believe that we're going to get a white Christmas. To which she replied, like, oh, well. And she did it in a nice way, I promise you. But in that moment, I realized something. That a white Christmas for someone in Wisconsin is different than a white Christmas for a boy who was raised in Florida, Georgia, and Texas. You see, speaking as a man that grew up as a boy in Florida, Georgia, and Texas, there was no such thing as snow at Christmas time. It didn't exist. And yet we hear the holiday songs. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Yeah, what's that look like? There was one time, living in Florida, that my parents tell me it snowed. And it was like a freak thing that it snowed in Florida. And my parents woke me up and said, guess what, it snowed. And by the time I went outside, it already melted. It actually really did, but it did it overnight for like 30 minutes, and then it melted after it hit the ground. But yeah. So white Christmas, I didn't experience my first white Christmas until I was an adult. And I know that if you live here, this can be, it's like, hey, yeah, it just happens. I mean, it's like the odds of it not happening is a bigger deal than it happening. But I'm telling you, for Southern people, it's like a belief, like a dream, like I hope, I have faith. White Christmas is going to happen. And believing is a part of our lives, though. You know, I hear there's a big game going on at noon today between a green team and a blue team. Who here is going for the green team? Who here is going for the blue and orange team? A few people. Isn't it nice that we can live in somewhat harmony together in the same room? Yeah. You know what's really funny? Is the people who are going for that blue and orange team, they believe they're going to win. They believe they have a shot. But if they're really honest with themselves, and I love you guys that love blue and orange, you are welcome at Focus Church. Just like Focus Church welcomes this red and yellow boy. If you're really honest with yourself, our belief about our sports team winning has more to do with this than it does with this. You know what I'm saying? It's like we already know what's probably going to happen, and we realize there's no guarantees when it comes to sports. We can hope, but when it comes to this, when we say we believe our team's going to win, we don't really believe it because anything can happen. I mean, it's not a sure thing. It's not because I believe with all my heart this is going to happen. It's going to happen. It is no. I hope. And I want to dismiss everything I know in my head that it's going to happen, right? We kind of replace belief there. The difference, though, is 18 inches. The 18 inches from here to here. And it's very much a part of belief and believing. And that's what we're talking about today. So we just read in Luke chapter 1 that Gabriel made a second visit. And Gabriel, as we learned when he was upset with Zechariah last week, he was upset because Zechariah didn't believe him, and he said, hey, I speak to God all the time. I go into God's throne room. I'm a messenger sent from God. Gabriel must be important. He is sent on a second mission to go talk to a young woman by the name of Mary. And he goes and speaks to this girl and says, "Hey, I'm Gabe. I got some good news. God likes you." And she's like, "What?" She's confused. She's trying to figure out, wait, I'm seeing an angel, and the angel says he knows me, and he's got my name, and he says that God likes me. That's a lot to process. I mean, think about it. If you were just sitting on your couch watching Hallmark movies, and an angel walks in whose head is kind of hitting the top of your ceiling and says, "Hey, God likes you, and he knows your name," you'd be like, "Whoa, dude. This is crazy." And here he is. He's visiting Mary. And there's something we can get from the very initial part of this visit that's important for us to understand. God knew everything about Mary. Now, we know from looking at everything about Mary that the Bible reveals to us that she was a young woman. She was pledged to be married, but she was not married yet. In that culture, that meant she was in her teens when this took place. Hasn't experienced a lot of life, but if an angel is sent by God to go see Mary and says, "Hey, God likes you, you have found favor with God," Mary must be doing something right. Right? Now, if God was to pick this girl, did it mean that she was perfect? Did it mean that she had her act together? Did it mean like she never said anything bad about anyone? He knew everything about her, and he picked her. And God knows everything about you, and he's picked you to be a part of his family. And if we were to be honest with ourselves, just like we asked those Bears fans to be honest with themselves, if we were to be honest with ourselves, we would say, wait, if God really does know me, then he's overlooking quite a few things if he's picked me. But he knew everything about Mary, and still Mary found favor in God's eyes. He picked her. And she hears all this. And the angel goes on to explain, here's what's going to happen. God's picked you, and you're going to be with child soon, and it's going to be a special child that's God's son, and he's going to rule over everything, and he's going to have David's throne, and it's going to be amazing, and then people are going to be saved. And she's like, what'd you say? She had a hard time understanding how was this going to work. So she asks a question. How is this going to happen? How can I have a kid if we haven't got married yet, if I haven't been with the guy yet? Now, if we were to pause for a moment and compare this angel visit with the previous angel visit, we'll see that there's a lot of similarities. We see that in the previous angel visit, Gabriel went to go see Zechariah. He said, "Zechariah, God's heard you. He's heard your prayers, and he's got something special for you. Your wife's going to have a child. And your child is going to be special. He's going to usher in the new Messiah. He's going to help people turn back to God. He's going to turn this nation around." And Zechariah's response to him was, "Wait, does God realize how old we are? How's this going to even happen? We can't have kids." And we looked last week at his doubt, and we saw the consequences of his doubt, where the angel said, "Because you don't believe, you're not going to be able to speak until the child is born. Because of your unbelief, because you do not believe." And yet, here on the second visit, we have Mary being visited by Gabriel. Gabriel says, "Hey, God likes you. God's picked you. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to have a kid." And she's like, wait a second. I've got a question. I don't understand how this is going to happen. And if we were just basing it on the first story, we'd say that Gabriel's about to pass down some punishment on Mary for not believing. But Gabriel just kind of goes over and says, "Hey, no, here's how it's going to work. The Holy Spirit's going to come over you. This child's going to be holy. And this is going to be special. And it's going to fulfill prophecy. And this This is the promised one, Emmanuel, God with us. This is the one. And I'm thinking maybe these two angel visits are not that fair. How about you? But wait a second. This dude who was a priest who just had a doubt, I'm not sure I believe that this can happen, he gets punished, and Mary's got a doubt. I don't understand how this is going to happen. And the angel says, oh, yeah, here's how it's going to happen. But I think there's something we can catch from this. That there's got to be a difference here. There's got to be something related to believing that's different here. And if we can catch this, we can understand how we're supposed to believe in God. You see, when we saw the doubt that Zechariah had, it was a doubt that gave us hope to say, you know, sometimes we get in the way of what God wants to do. But here with Mary, she didn't necessarily not doubt, she just didn't understand. How can this be? I don't understand. And maybe it's okay to not understand how God will do something. In order to even kind of pull this apart, we've got to understand just a little bit about the nature of God in this. Because on the surface, this appears like two similar angel visits, yet with drastically different results. Both people question the message, question the messenger. And yet, it was different. And so if we look at the nature of God and how God views things, we understand that God looks at people differently. When we first hear about this, when God is speaking a message to Samuel, when he's told Samuel, you're going to go to this guy's house named Jesse, and I'm going to tell you which one of Jesse's sons is going to be the next king of Israel. And so Samuel goes, hey, Jesse, I'm coming over to your house today. Bring out your boys. One of them is going to be anointed to be the next king of Israel. And this was a great honor. This was a great thing to be able to do. And Samuel's like, hey, I see this firstborn son that's coming and being presented before me. He is strong. He is handsome, man. I can picture a crown on his head. This is probably the guy. And in that moment, God speaks to Samuel. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. And God says to Samuel, he says, the Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And if we see examples of this throughout the Old Testament, leading into the New Testament, of that, wait, it's not about how they look on the outside, but God's looking at what it looks like on the inside, and that's how God judges, and that's how God picks how somebody is. He looks at their heart. This might be something that applies to these angel visits. Could it be possible that when Gabriel talked with Zechariah, that Zechariah's question of, hey, I'm not sure this could work, was not just a simple misunderstanding, but it was in his heart. He's like, there's just no way. And maybe when Mary was questioning Gabriel with his message, that it was about a misunderstanding, but God could see her heart and see that she loves me. She honors me. I understand her motives in this. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You know, I talked to you about Christmas presents, and as a kid, I would try to figure out, and my mom would make the mistake sometimes of putting the Christmas presents out there too early. And she figured out that we were figuring out how to open them and shut them up. She started figuring out that we figured out how to take tape off and everything, and so she started trying some different methods to disguise what we were getting. And you probably tried them yourself, you know. She tried the whole thing 1 year of not putting anyone's name on a present. So even if you figure out what the present is, you don't know who's getting the present, so there's still a mystery there. And that totally backfired. because she couldn't remember on Christmas morning who the present was for. Then there was the time that she decided, hey, you think you can get past tape? We'll try to get through three layers of wrapping. Or maybe there was the time where she decided there is no presents going out there early and we're just hiding them somewhere in the house. Yeah, we found those. And the thing about presents is that the present is a good thing. It's a surprise. It's wrapped up. And we want to peek around it, but sometimes we look at the present on the outside and say, I wonder if that's a good present or not. We look at a present on the outside and say, maybe it's wrapped just right. Maybe it's the right size for that thing I had on my wish list. Maybe if I take it and hold it and feel how heavy it is, maybe if I shake it a little, it's funny how Lego packages give themselves away. Maybe if I shake it a little, I can figure this out. But we look at the appearance of the presents and, I don't know, sometimes, you know, the little kid in us comes out even as adults and we look at it and say, yeah, how many presents am I going to get? The quantity, the quality, the size, the weight, the cost. We're judging the presents by their outward appearance. And yet the giver was thinking about us when they were thinking about that presence and they were thinking about this is going to be perfect for you and I can't wait for you to have this and this is going to be awesome. You see, I'm so glad that God looks at us on the inside, because we may put up fronts and facades and make it look like we got everything together. We may make our Facebook look like we got it all together, but we're all human. We all mess up. We all aren't perfect. It's kind of scary to think that God knows the real us. And he still lets us hang around. But he knows what we're really thinking. He knows what our real motives are for doing things. That God sees through all our junk. And he knows us. And yet, he still picks us. He picked you and he picked me to send a present through a young girl named Mary. She would have a child. He would be Christ the Lord. And he would save all of us. And as we talked last week, the idea of believing something, starts up here. That we've got to believe, the beginning of believing, the start of believing, begins with trusting the message and the messenger. That's where Zechariah messed up last time. Because he did not trust this angel and did not trust his message. And that's resulted in him not believing. But in this instance, we have Mary, who is hearing everything. She's kind of confused, and hey, I've got a question. You know what? God's big enough for our questions. He's big enough for our doubts. He's big enough for that. But we've got to make sure and understand that even in our doubts and understanding, God can still see through it, and he knows our motives. He knows our heart. He knows where you're really at. He knows that if you genuinely want to know, or you're just like, yeah, God, see if you're really real. And he could see through what Mary was doing. He picked Mary not because of her age and not because of how good she looked and not because of what she had, but he picked her because of her heart. And it was her heart that found favor with God. I wish that could be said about me. That my heart could find favor with God. It doesn't matter how ugly this gets. That my heart finds favor with God. Believing starts with trusting the message and the messenger. Mary's response, here's what she said back to Gabriel. She says in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Mary believed in her heart. She wanted it. And she settled it that it was all going to happen, just as the angel had said. Just a few moments ago, we watched a very well-done a cappella rendition of Mary, Did You Know? And this is a classic for the Christmas time. And yet it's one of those Christmas carols that drives me nuts. Because it's Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? You had a baby. Oh, he's Jesus. Mary, did you know that he would save everybody? Mary, did you know? And the answer is, yes, she did. There was no wondering. There was no doubt. We have proof right here. I am the Lord, serving me. Everything you have said about me, come true. She knew. You thought I just picked a really nice song. I wanted to discredit it with a smile. Mary, did you know? Yes, she did. She knew at that moment before the angel left, when she had settled it in her heart, that her belief went from here of trusting the message and the messenger, and it went down 18 inches to here with her heart and says, I believe it's going to happen. I have faith. I believe what you said. It's going to come true. See, believing in our heart is having the faith it's going to happen. And I know last week, this idea of believing, starting with our head, helped a lot of people. And you wrote amazing responses on this on your communication cards of what God was telling you. Because there's a starting point to belief. And it does start with a decision that I trust the messenger and the message. But it does go a step past that. That belief doesn't stay up here. That it actually goes down here. I was doing some research recently, and it was about how we develop. And there was somebody who presented this idea that kind of just blew my mind. Because we like to think that our brain is in control of us. And yet, there's another more important organ that is formed first. It's our heart. The heart is the center of our life, and the heart was formed before the brain was formed, and the heart is the one where all the intellectual material of how we develop in our mother's womb and where it goes from there, and that says, hey, we're going to have a brain, and we're going to have eyes, and we're going to have knees, and we're going to have toes, and it starts with the first organ, the heart, that the heart is the most important thing. When the heart is failing, everything else starts failing. But when the heart is strong, there's a shot. That our heart matters and who we are, what God puts there. Believing in our heart, having the faith that what God says is going to happen. So Mary, immediately after this angel left, she went to go see about part of what the angel said, because the angel not only said, hey, you're going to have a baby, and here's how it's going to happen, and we're explaining it all, and here's what he's going to be, and here's what his name's going to be, but by the way, if that wasn't enough, let me tell you about a miracle. Your cousin Elizabeth is in her sixth month of pregnancy right now, that God has given her a child in her old age, and it's a miracle. Huh. Gabriel left a clue for Mary, which gave her the opportunity to just know that God's there. So the Bible describes that immediately she left her house and went to her cousin Elizabeth's house, Zachariah's house, to see, is it true that my cousin is 6 months pregnant? Because if it is, then I really know what's about to happen to me, and there's no question if Mary knew. She would really know that God's real, and that God indeed has found favor with her. And as she came up to Elizabeth's house, as Elizabeth came out, and she's pregnant, when Mary walked up, the Bible describes that the baby inside of her, who we know is going to be named John, leaped inside of her, and she felt it, and the Holy Spirit came over her, and she began to speak to Mary through the Holy Spirit and describing, wow, you are blessed. You are blessed. This is me. I am blessed because, wow, that I would be able to be with the person who would mother the child who's going to save us all. This is amazing. But there's something that Elizabeth said in the end In verse 45, she says, Mary, you are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Wow. That was the key. Now we've been comparing two angel visits. We've been looking at two contrasting stories in Luke chapter 1. This is the setup for the Christmas story. And if you remember last week, there was a specific line that said, Zechariah, because you didn't believe, here's what's going to happen. And here we have the ending to this one of Mary's visit. It's saying, because you believed that God would do all that he said he would, you're blessed. Here to here, 18 inches. Two parts of this believe thing. It starts with trust, with a decision. I'm going to trust the message and the messenger, what God's speaking to me. Then can I have the faith that he can do anything, that he can make it come to pass, that I have settled it. It's going to come to pass. This is faith. And I think the second part is just as hard as the first part of believing. Because our doubts creep up. And especially when God takes a long time to follow through with what he said for you. But let me tell you this. If God has given you a promise, if God has given you a dream, if God has given you a vision, can your belief in that travel from here to here to say it's settled, it's going to happen? Can we be like this young girl Mary and believe that God can do anything and that it can happen just as he said it's going to happen? We get impatient. Sometimes we feel like we're alone. Sometimes we feel like God's forgotten us. But he hasn't. And if there's one thing that we could do as a family to prepare ourselves for this Christmas celebration, is to look at the evidence that God did what he said he's going to do. And if he did it, he can come through for you too. Mary got the proof in seeing Elizabeth. And our proof, we celebrate it every year in December, that God sent his son, Jesus. Will you believe? Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Let's talk to God in this moment. God, sometimes we get in the way of believing in you, believing that you can do anything, believing that you will do what you said you're going to do. It's very easy for us to get cynical, to get sarcastic, to not believe or say, yeah, we'll see if he comes through. But God, this story, the story of you sending your son, as it's outlined even in these two angel visits that we've looked at the last 2 weeks, show that the beginning of this is our believing in you. And that we have a choice to trust you and to trust your message. And that we get to decide, are we going to act in faith and settle it in our heart that you can do it, that God can do anything. And I believe, God, that if we can make the connection of the two, we can see you do amazing things. Help us, God, to not let our lack of believing keep you from showing up in our lives. As the Father said last week, when he spoke to Jesus himself. He said, God, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. God, you see our hearts. You see where we're at. No matter what we say, no matter what we do, no matter what we have, no matter what we don't have, no matter what's going on or not going on, you know us intimately. Remind us, God, that you picked us, that we're not an accident, we're not a mistake. Knowing you and being part of your family, not a mistake. We didn't slide in by the skin of our teeth, but we were chosen. Help us, God, to believe for more. To believe for more. And as we ponder that thought, as we ponder that prayer, I want to speak to those in this room who I spoke to earlier. It said, if you came looking for hope, there is hope found in Jesus. And I told you I'd give you the opportunity to receive that hope. You see, God loved you so much that he sent his son, Jesus, as we celebrate in Christmas. The fulfillment to the promise that he would send his only son to save us. You see, the act of saving us wasn't just that he showed up, but that he was here on purpose, that he was to live his life, and he would pay a price for something he did not do. And because he paid that price, he could pay the price for us. You see, we're born with evil. We're born with wrong, and we can thank Adam and Eve for that. It's our nature. And we're born with a judgment that says that we're forever going to be apart from God, not just in this lifetime, but in the next. But the good news is that God loved you and me so much, they said, I don't want to keep it this way. I want an opportunity. I want to have you as a part of the family. I want to have you and give you hope and give you purpose, that there is a reason why you are here. There is a purpose to your life. That yes, there is hope, there is peace, there can be focus to your life. And it starts with me sending my son to pay the price for your sin, for your wrongdoing. And he didn't just pay that price, but God said, I'm not leaving him dead who just gave up his life for you and for me, but he raised him back to life. And that's what we celebrate here in just 4 months, Easter. And because God raised from the dead and he conquered and finished the fight and paid the debt and made it possible for us to be with him, to have the promise of the next life of being with God himself. So what does it take? What do we got to do to cross from this line to the next? What do we got to do to get over there from here, from where I'm at to where God is? We've been talking about believing. The Bible says in Romans that you've got to believe in your heart. That means you started with a decision in your head that I'm going to trust the message and the messenger, but that I'm going to go down to my heart and have faith to settle that it happened, to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And he says, and you got to say it with your mouth, that God's in charge, that Jesus is Lord. He says, you will be saved. So it's a simple prayer, but it starts with believing. And so if that's you, if you say, Pastor, let me at it. Let me do this. I want to do this. I want to accept this gift from this God who loved me so much. And so I'm going to ask you to pray, repeating after me, and I'm going to invite everyone to pray, repeating after me. Nobody prays alone here at Focus Church. And so let's pray together. Say, Dear God, I need you. I believe with all my heart that you love me so much that you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want you in charge of my life. Be my Lord. give me hope. Give me purpose. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.